Hello, everybody. Jake here, reporting on my very, very bad onboard mic. I'm sorry that you keep having to hear these, but I really don't feel like setting up the whole thing just to do a quick little intro. This episode is our 3-year anniversary spectacular. So, first of all, thank you guys so much for either joining us or sticking with us. If you've been here the whole time, wow, that's very impressive because those first episodes were objectively very bad. Neither of us knew how to talk out loud yet, so that was like a new thing we were experimenting with. Also, the episodes were real long. There were some very long episodes in there, just about like Power Rangers. Thank you guys. I'm very happy that you did stick around because it means that we get to share in our love for this stupid, dumb show for babies. What you're about to hear is I will call it the unaired pilot of the Morphin Grid. We recorded, I think I mentioned this in the last episode, but just in case, one of the last Frankencast, it might have been the Patreon-only one, so just in case, for everybody here. This episode that you're about to hear was recorded when I lived with my parents in 2013, in early 2013. This is like February or March or earlier, I don't exactly remember. My little brother is a guest on it. It's Josh and I recording on his phone. I'm not gonna promise any quality. We're going to the first episode. It's going to be Day of the Dumpster. I'm not promising any quality whatsoever. Okay? You, like, just so you know, and I'm gonna do as little editing as possible just so you can see how far we've come. Just overall, how good it is that you have it now listening to us. Is it could have been, it used to be much different. Scoot would have just turned 16, so there's that. He's a baby. I might have even been taller than him at that. No, I probably wasn't. I think he was taller than me by the time he was 16. I hope you enjoy. I'll be back at the end to give you a little, like, you know, some snug to get a little mushy. You guys know how I am. You've been around for 2 years. You know how I get. Anyway, enjoy this mess.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
I'm Jake.
And all this is us talking about Power Rangers.
Talking about Power Rangers and our experiences with Power Rangers.
Applying it to our lives.
And how it basically governs our day-to-day being. Joining us this week is my little brother, Scoot.
Hi.
And my dog, Rango, who will not be talking.
But if you hear any weird thwaps, it's just his tail.
It's his tail.
He also may be snoring at some point.
Yeah, he's laying down.
If we burst out laughing, it's probably because of him.
We're doing some goofy stuff. So, what we're going to be doing is we're going to stop the recording, watch Power Rangers, an episode per episode.
An episode per podcast.
Per podcast,
I think, is a better, yeah.
Well,
an episode per episode. Yeah.
We got two screens, and we're watching 6 episodes at once. So we'll watch
infinite episodes.
We'll watch it. We'll come back, and then we'll just talk about the episode, and what happened, and what we love about it, and what we hate about it. Which, there's not a whole lot to hate about Power Rangers.
As long as you're not snarky.
Right, yeah. I mean,
if you spend a lot of time on the internet, I'm sure you have plenty to hate about Power Rangers.
Right. But, I mean, not these Power Rangers. I think it's universal that everyone loves the, I'm using air quotes here, you can't see it, old school Power Rangers.
Right, and by old school they mean season one
Mighty
Morphin. There's no G.
There's no G, which I didn't realize till like, till I think I got the DVDs. But yeah, the old school, from what I can tell, is like Day of the Dumpster, Food Fight, and Green with Evil.
And then that's it.
And that's all anyone talks about. No, because no one goes into any other monsters.
Right. I think old school encompasses original Megazord. Once he's gone,
right.
Now it's too different. Now it's bad.
Which,
now it's the worst Power Rangers.
Which, to be fair, the Thunder Megazords.
The Thunder Megazord.
Maybe the Green Lion
Zord are clunky.
Don't talk about the Green Black Lion Zord. All right.
We'll get there. We'll have whole episodes on that.
Yeah, that'll be a special episode. We just complain about inconsistencies.
You're not complaining.
In an endearing manner.
Yes. Because, I mean,
they did the best with what they
we'll
had
get
to work
it,
with.
But the way they made this show is pretty impressive. Okay, so we're watching this time, episode 1, Day of the Dumpster. You can watch along. It's on Netflix. We'll provide a link to the,
I think it's Time Life.
Yeah,
the
Time
link
Life
might be on Shout Factory. I'm not sure. But it's to the box set. It's like a $200 box set. It's all of Mighty Morphin, and then the next four seasons after that.
Shout Factory also has, like, Mighty Morphin in individual seasons on their website.
I don't know if all the individual volumes have come out yet. I know they were... The big box set is like a... If you're a super fan, you can get this. Otherwise, we're trickling the seasons out.
So we'll provide links to that. One last thing before we go is... We're not sure how you're listening to this. Because we haven't set up anything yet. But at the end, or maybe even here, Future Jake will drop in something. But at the end, we'll explain where else you can find us. Because it will be set up by the time you hear this.
Right, we have, at the time of this recording, we have no internet real estate to put for this to live in.
Yeah, this is just us being excited and making a podcast.
Right.
So, we're going to pause now. We're going to watch Day of the Dumpster. I encourage you to do the same. It's Marvin Tag!
So we're back, we're morphed, we just watched episode one, Day of the Dumpster.
So Power Rangers was made in 1993. Well, the Power Rangers we know was made in 1993. It's adapted from what is called the Super Sentai series, which is basically Japan's Power Rangers. They've been doing it for years, since like the 70s.
I feel like it was the early 80s. I was just reading on early 80s. And it was a series, I think, that started maybe late 70s, early 80s.
I think it was late 70s because they were trying to get Power Rangers made for like 6 years.
Right. The one that this is based isn't even the first Super Sentai. It's like the 16th?
It's far in.
Yeah.
Because this is based on something Sentai Z Ranger. I never remember what the first word is, but it's based on Z Ranger, possibly Zyu Ranger, based on Z Ranger. Where am I going with this? Right. Okay. So they did,
and we record. Is that where you're going? They recorded American footage and spliced it in. Is that where you're trying to go?
Yes. I just blacked out. So what they would do is they would, when they were first making the series, they got like the first 15 episodes, because there's 40 episodes of Z Ranger. And what they did was they cut out everything that would lead you to believe it's a Japanese show. So that anytime someone was driving on the left side of the road, anytime there was a mass of Japanese people running away from something, anytime the characters were unmorphed, all of that they got rid of. The only things they kept were Rita's stuff, because he's clearly dubbed over. Her and Babu, because Babu is his face is still human.
Yes.
He just has like a monkey on the rest of him. They're clearly dubbed over. That's the only part. They got rid of everything else, and then they would send that to like their writers, and they'd be like, all right, write an episode about it.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, literally. They just go nuts. So, you know, then they cast everybody, and they filmed a pilot, which originally had a different trainee, but she was unable to continue. So when Fox Kids finally picked it up, they recast her. They redid the first episode, which is the Day of the Dumpster now. I've never seen the unaired pilot. We'll probably do a bonus episode of that.
I feel like we have to.
Yeah. I've never ever seen it.
Very odd.
The only things I've seen were the clips in the retrospective.
The only thing that's really the same is the concept of Power Rangers. Everything else is different.
Yeah, I don't even know if they use the same footage, the same Japanese footage, because...
Some of it, I think.
Because, like, I don't know what overlaps and what doesn't, so... I don't know.
I saw it once online a while ago.
Right, because I don't know if they just, like, just took out all the American stuff that they filmed and then just did it again. So, we'll find out, and then you'll know, because we'll do an episode.
Right.
It'll be new to all of us.
Yeah. Josh, you saw...
It'll be newish to me.
Yeah, long enough ago to where you don't remember.
I saw a recording of it playing at a convention
on the YouTubes.
Right.
So that's how they made Power Rangers, and they had to have 15 episodes written before they started shooting because of their crazy production schedule, where they would just film. And you film pretty much everything for at least 12 hours a day, sometimes more. They were doing like 14-hour days. They had to get up at 3
The girls had to be in hair and makeup at 4, guys had to be at 5, except for Jason David Frank, because he had glorious hair. We're not going to talk about him, because he doesn't come in for about 15 episodes.
Yeah, we got a while before he comes
Trust
up.
Us, there will be a lot. There will be a lot of stuff to talk about, because Tommy is the best ever.
He's the best Ranger.
He's the best Ranger.
In canon, he's the best Ranger.
Yeah, so...
He's a pretty cool guy.
So they filmed, like 16 hours a day, and they would film, like, all of the command center stuff at once. So they would just like film all for one episode, costume change, film for another episode, costume change, film for another episode, costume. And they would do that for like 15 episodes, you know, over like they'd spend like 3 days there, and they would do all the juice bar stuff and they would film all that. And then they would go to like the park and the wherever else the episode needed them to go,
right,
and film that on the rest of the days of the week. And like, just hearing about that sounds insane. That's a lot of work for on everyone's level, like,
yeah,
to make this show, because, like, you know, knowing that they would film everything one day, your costume manager, not necessarily your designer, but your costume, your wardrobe person,
yeah,
would have to have everything separated by day, have to know what was what, and, like, have to keep everything in track, and if you slip up once... You know, it's not like today where the internet would immediately be on it and be like, how come Kimberly's wearing this shirt in this episode and this shirt later in the episode?
Right, even she had the same outfit and, like, she had boots on instead of her white sneakers.
Yeah.
The internet's going to throw a hissy fit.
It would pick up on that nowadays. Back then, it was just a bunch of us 5 to 10-year-olds.
Right.
Well, I guess maybe 5 to 15-year-olds. I was 5. Or I was...
I was 7.
I was 4.
I wasn't born.
So... Scoot was negative.
Yeah, Scoot was not
3
negative
at the time.
He just was
3.
Not.
Yeah. So like we were just watching it. We didn't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm a film major, a former film major. I'm a film graduate.
Yeah, a lot of good that's done. Yeah.
So hey, easy kid. So like I pay attention to that stuff now, and that just it was nauseating. Like just trying to think of how to be on Power Rangers as one of the crew, like.
Also, if they're working like 16 hours a day, they're not getting all the sleep, so they're running on less sleep.
Yeah, well.
Oh, that's a given for being an actor.
Yeah, I mean, you're just you sleep.
If you're filming,
less,
you're sleeping when you're done.
I mean, if they sleep, if they work for 12 hours a day, then you can get your full sleep in and have 2 hours to do whatever you want. but
you can spend that.
I mean, you have the weekends off, and that's when you sleep. Pretty much is on the weekend.
You don't have a weekend.
Yeah, because you're just asleep the whole time. The 48 hours, you're just taking a nap. So I suppose we should probably talk about the actual episode.
Probably.
You know? Yeah, you got your film geek stuff out of the way.
I got the technical stuff about it. Or, before we talk about the episode, let's talk about our first instance of watching the Power Rangers. Like, how did you find out about Power Rangers?
Okay.
You
Are we
that.
Starting?
Yeah,
we're starting
no,
with me.
Starting,
okay.
Yeah. How did you find out about the Power Rangers?
Oh, goodness. Well, I was in second grade, like I said. I was about 7 years old. I woke up at normal, waking up for school hours. And I'm assuming it was a repeat because it was way too early. It was like 6:30 in the morning. This was way too early to be a new episode. But I was getting dressed in the living room and I turned on the TV and whatever my mom was watching was on that channel last night.
Right. She's watching Fox
so
News
I turned the TV
before.
On and Power Rangers is on. And I'm going to say it was the Pudgy Pig episode.
Right.
I don't know for sure, but that is, after I rewatched the DVD, that is the first, that's my most prominent memory of Power Rangers. So I'm going to say that was the first one I saw. And I didn't really get ready for school that day. I watched Power Rangers, and then I went to school, and I told everybody about Power Rangers.
Yeah, and it's all you talked about for the rest of the year.
Of my life.
Yeah.
20 years later, I still talk about Power Rangers.
Editor's note, I have no idea what happened here. Josh got like a phone call. We were all of a sudden talking about that. I don't know.
You woke up early in the morning. According to the retrospective, whoever, I forget her name, the head of Fox Kids or head of Fox Kids programming was like, we'll put Power Rangers on at 7:30 in the morning.
Okay. Maybe it was a new episode.
We'll put it on at 7:30 in the morning. It might have been during the summer.
Okay.
Or probably...
Because I don't remember until I saw it on TV that day.
Yeah.
It was not...
That's just a missed call.
Okay. until I saw it on TV that day, it was not something that was being talked about all the time. Like, maybe I heard about it in passing.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. But after I saw it is immediately when Power Ranger Mania hit.
Yeah, it was
the child, the children of America.
Oh, yeah, swept the nation by storm.
Blew up.
So they had it on at 7:30 in the morning for their first episode. And then they had a kids block after school. And she's like, oh, we'll put it on in the morning. Batman the Animated Series was on in the afternoon at 4, and which is a huge hit. It was like a ratings giant.
It's another cartoon
for my child. Right, yeah, because, like, I mean, Batman to me is Batman from the animated series.
Right.
That's my go-to Batman. by the end of the first day, like after the ratings had gone through.
It's like second week.
Was it the second week?
Second week.
Okay, so there was 2 weeks in Pudgy Pig's episode 6, I think, so.
It is, but I was reading, and I think they aired them out of production order. Because I feel like I read that, aside from the one we just watched, Day of the Dumpster, the premiere episode, the next one aired was Pudgy Pig.
Okay.
So he was, like, he was the first monster.
Yeah, because I believe it started in
even
August.
Though he's in, like, the fifth or sixth episode,
yeah.
Production number-wise.
Yeah, so by the end of the second week, it was destroying Batman in the ratings, so they switched him so everyone could watch it, after school. So you probably caught it when it was still on in the morning.
Right before
yeah.
it caught it, yep.
I didn't. I caught it in the afternoon. Pudgy Pig was also my first episode that I saw, and it was probably when it aired, because I think it might have aired again later. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was after they'd switched and they'd started just doing repeats during the day.
Yeah.
Because it was on 5 times a week. It was
right,
on,
yeah.
It was on every single day during
yeah.
the summer. I think it started in August.
Or that would explain.
Like, yeah, it started in, like, late August and then just ran through for 40 episodes or whatever. But yeah, Power Ranger Mania, I have a similar feeling, is that, like, I started watching it and then nobody else was watching it, and I was like, "Ever, you guys have to watch Power Rangers. It'll change your life." little 4-year-old me is like, "You have to do this, guys. There's no, right. like, we can't be friends if you don't watch Power Rangers."
Right.
I'll have nothing to talk to you about ever again.
And that was your life.
Yeah.
For most of elementary school.
Literally, yeah. I
played Power Rangers at recess.
Power Rangers for Halloween.
Yep, I was the Red Ranger for Halloween.
I was too. Because nobody wants to be Billy, but my friend Charlie was Billy. Because he had glasses, so he was Billy.
Because that's the elementary.
He identified with them.
It's elementary logic.
So Scoot, I'm going to ask you first before we do mine. I know how you, because you're my little brother, so I know how you got into Power Rangers. How did you get into Power Rangers, Scoot?
I was taken to, you wanted to go see Power Rangers Turbo. The movie in theaters.
That doesn't really count because you were like a baby though. So
well, I don't remember anything after that. I just remember sleeping through Turbo, the movie, and then
because you were a baby.
I was like, he was 3 months old. Yeah, he was like 3 or 4 months old.
They eat.
But yeah, but you watched it because
I watched it
because
you were watching it.
Because that's the only thing I watched. Yeah,
and you know, little brother's kind of like, oh wait, my brother's doing something. Got to do the exact same thing, and I am happy I did.
Yeah, you're the reason I watched more episodes after Lost Galaxy, because like you were really into Time Force when it first came out.
I freaking love
Time Force, Lightspeed Rescue.
Oh, man.
All those. I was starting to get out of them, but I was still watching it because you were. So like I got to keep up.
And then after a while,
even though I was too cool because I was a middle schooler.
Oh man.
Right.
I feel like after Wild Force though, it just started slowly going downhill.
That's the thing. Talking about being too cool because you were a middle schooler. There's this line in people's lives, and it goes pretty much for everyone, where when you're a kid, it's okay to love whatever it is that you love. That's
yeah.
fine. And then you're a teenager, but now you have a mold you need to fit into if you
right.
want to have friends. And then you get out of high school, and it's right back to just you're
just
allowed to like what
about,
you like.
About cool things.
That's,
yeah, like,
that's how it was with me in Pokemon when I was going through middle school.
That's
I was
a whole
the
different podcast.
Is it really? I feel like you never stopped liking Pokemon.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Maybe you just hit it at school.
No, I didn't care. And that's why for middle school, I had like 7 friends.
Pokemon has always been cool to me.
Exactly.
I still only have 7 friends.
That's all you need.
You know,
you don't need a school full of friends. Yeah.
Exactly, you don't. For sure. And then high school hit again, and I was like, wait, other people like this and they're open about it? Sweet!
But you had the benefit of growing up with the internet, which...
Benefit,
JJ? I'm going to say benefit for one reason. The internet is a place where you can go and love something unabashedly.
That is true.
So, like the My Little Pony craze could not have existed
without the internet. That show would probably be canceled.
It probably it might not, but only girls would be watching it because,
only 6-year-old little girls.
Because it would have been marketed to anybody else. I would have never watched it. I have a My Little Pony tattoo, guys. I love the show. I would never have seen it if it weren't for my friend Mike, and he wouldn't have seen it without the internet. So
I wouldn't have seen it without JJ.
So I feel like it's different because you're so much younger than you're 10 years younger than Josh. You're 7 years younger than me.
God, you're old. He's old man.
I am. You're 11 years younger than me, actually.
11?
I just turned 27. He just turned 16.
Right. Math is like...
So yeah, for everyone listening, I'm 27 years old.
Josh is an old man.
Two of my favorite things in the world are Pokemon and Power Rangers. And it's been that way my whole life.
Let that be a lesson, kids. You can like whatever you want forever, so and it will always be cool.
There was the awkward fit. Well, cool is... You're not always cool gonna be to cool, because I was not cool in middle school. Right. I had a couple of friends who... just stuck with me after elementary school.
Who abided. I have the same friends I've had since... some of them since second grade. Some since sixth grade. And I just never got a new group of friends. Because we clicked on that level.
I can't say that, because I have the friends I had before I started working at Walmart. And now you guys.
Yeah.
So
my new group is you, Sesha, and Tony.
Right.
Because I work with you guys, so we're friends, and we like the same things.
Right. Well, except for Tony. We keep him around because
wrestling.
We have wrestling and music for me anyway.
I don't like the same music Tony does. Well, except for Kesha. So I have to blow my cover. Right. This is going off topic. This is going off the rails.
We're talking about our friends now. We're not even. We'll bring it back after this.
We are coming back to things that we've liked for a while.
We're coming back. So anyway, so my first experience with Power Rangers is very similar to yours, except that it's just the opposite time of day. We just moved into this house. We moved a week after my birthday. Power Rangers didn't start till August, so we probably didn't have cable for 2 months or whatever. I just remember coming out from playing outside with my neighbor's grandkids, and we came in because it was getting late. It was 4 o'clock.
So you came in for a flashlight because you wanted to keep playing outside, because that's what kids used to do.
Or we were thirsty because we weren't worried about our hydration.
And now the outside doesn't exist anymore.
So we came in and, it may not be this way exactly, but in my head it's gospel because this is my memory of it. So this is just the way it has to have been. I won't believe anything else. Is we came in, and we had just gotten our cable hooked up, our basic television package hooked up at the time.
Right.
This was 1993, so I don't know what it was. It was whatever the rabbit ears were picking up, which happened to include Fox Kids. I turned it on, and it was Pudgy Pig. And it wasn't even the start of the episode. It was I came in during the Pudgy Pig invading the juice bar.
Okay.
And I just lost my mind. I was like, okay, number one, this pig monster is fighting these kids. So that's cool automatically because it's a monster and these kids are fighting it and fighting anything action-y was cool to you when you're a kid,
right.
when you're a boy. I mean, probably for girls too. I don't know.
Rangers has the perfect formula to appeal to
everybody. Yes.
Everybody, but mostly male children.
Yeah.
Because you've got kung fu fighting.
Kids given superpowers and kung fu and dinosaurs.
Superheroes,
to fight with.
Dinosaurs, giant robots, monsters from the moon.
Yeah. at that time, there were two things that were super important to me. There was pizza.
Right.
And dinosaurs. Those are the two important things in my life. It's how can I get more pizza? How can I get more dinosaurs?
I feel like that was every
with pizza. It was Ninja Turtles. I had the Ninja Turtles. So that got my pizza out because we didn't get pizza all the time when I was a kid. Because we couldn't just throw away money on pizza all the time. It's like, it was a treat.
Yeah.
And then, like, dinosaurs, it was like, okay, how many times can I read this little book about Tyrannosauruses? Tyrannosauri? Tyrannosauruses. T-Rexes.
Yeah, that's the safe word. T-Rexes.
And then Power Rangers came along, and it's these kids kung fu fighting this pig monster. There's a food fight going on, which is exciting. Everyone wanted to start a food fight when they were younger.
Yeah, I still want to. Like, I'm just waiting for that perfect opportunity where that, like, light bulb goes off, and you're like, this is when I need to start a food fight.
And then you just stand up, and you yell, food fight! And you have to throw the first pudding,
whatever is in your head.
Spaghetti.
Bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah, and you just chuck it, and you gotta get it far enough away from you to where the fight will encompass the whole place. You can't just throw it on the guy next to you.
Because they'll just be like, oh, dude, come on.
Because then you're in a fight. You're going to punch each other, and it's going to be bad. You're not going to have fun throwing food all over the place.
You'll be throwing
so you got to, like, get it far away from you. Anyway, so they're fighting, and then they pull out these belt buckles and transform into superheroes. Yeah, where they're in spandex, and they have helmets that are dinosaur-themed, and they're color-coordinated, and, like, it's awesome, and, like, it's pure awesome. Like, if I had never heard of Power Rangers, and you explained what Power Rangers was to me, like, just the nutshell version, like, today, I would be excited about that. I'd be like,
right.
Tell me more. Where can I find this awesome thing? It's like, yeah, kids get superpowers and dinosaurs to fight evil with. Done. Sold. Sign me up.
You gotta make sure you say robot dinosaurs.
Robot dinosaurs. Right. Either way, I'm still in. Then they turned into Megazord, and by the end of the episode, I was hooked, and it was like, yeah. It was like heroin. Like, I just needed my next fix.
I don't know how I got my clothes on. I don't remember.
Right, yeah, you're just at school all of a sudden, and you're like, oh my god, what am I doing now?
Yeah,
I wasn't in school yet, but that's pretty much when outside stopped, because I would just stay inside all day and wait for Power Rangers to be on, and then, like, it just took over my life from there. I have so many Power Rangers toys to this day.
Yeah.
Like, from all the way up through Turbo.
I don't know where any of mine are.
I don't have the porch and under the house, and my Megazord's inside watching over me while I sleep.
Thank you.
So that's how I got into Power Rangers, that's how we got into Power Rangers. Now maybe we should probably talk about the episode, because it's been
the first episode. We had a lot of backstory.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get through this. Let me see how long said podcast... Half an hour?
We already broke half an hour. Well, that's
fine.
With the intro.
There's some fluff and some intro, so yeah. Okay. So, the dumpster is pretty cool. Rita, Zordon sealed evil in a can, to use the trope.
Yes.
Literally put evil in a dumpster.
10,000 years ago.
On an asteroid.
And then yes. Put a lid on it. They never explain that. You have to watch really carefully, because you think because her fortress is on the moon... that the space dumpster was on the moon.
Yeah, that's what I thought until you pointed it out.
It was not.
Like, a month ago.
Yes. If you watch, you can see the spaceship with the astronauts as they're flying towards this asteroid, which is obviously not the moon, because it's red, it's got, like, yellow cracks
in it. It's bright, the sun's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like the Arizona desert, or the Japan equivalent.
There is some kind of atmosphere, because there's a blue sky.
They have suits on, though, so it's not...
Not breathable.
It's not breathable. I didn't know that it was an asteroid until, like, literally, like, a month ago when I was like, why are they on the moon and we didn't know about it? there's one shot of Earth, the moon, and then the ship, the space shuttle parked on the asteroid.
Right.
And that's it. That's your only indication.
The moon is very close in the background to the asteroid that they're on.
Yeah.
It's never explained. In my head, that asteroid passes by Earth once every 10,000 years.
And last time Zordon sealed her.
Yes.
And then this is just the first time it's come around. Yeah.
Right.
But what's weird to me is that even the asteroid has an atmosphere. The moon doesn't, because it's a light on the asteroid.
Right.
But not the moon.
I feel like that's just because it's easier to film during the day.
Also, kids show, so they're not gonna be like, "Why is it bright?"
It's a television show.
It's like
for kids.
First,
it's Mystery Science Theater 3000 rule is it's a show. Maybe you should just relax.
I should.
Because I went to it last month. I was like, why? Because my the start of it was like, okay, if we went to the moon in the 90s, that would be on the news. Like, I know it's a television show, but, like, thinking, it's like, these kids aren't excited about it. Like, the astronauts never come back.
Billy either. Would be losing his mind right. if they
like,
were on the moon.
Like, we don't know what happens to them, because they never talk about...
They die.
They are dead. Rita just zaps them.
Because Rita comes out of the space dumpster.
They try to run away, and they're like, psh,
which,
no.
While we were watching, Scoop pointed out, because Jake was like, oh, so he just put a lid on there.
Yeah, there's like a Tupperware, not even a Tupperware lid, because that at least, you know, burps and gets the air right. seal.
But Scoop pointed out that the astronaut hit the red gem in the middle, deactivating the seal.
Yeah, dispelled the magic.
Right.
So that's how they were able to get the lid off.
So easily.
Which we'll come back to in a much later episode.
Very far again. A big can opener, which makes me laugh every yeah. time.
There's some really goofy thing. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about Power Rangers. I forgot where I was going. But okay, they get Rita out of the space dumpster. She comes out and stretches, obviously. She's been in there for 10,000 years.
And it's cramped.
It's just been her, Squat, and Babu.
And Goldar.
And Goldar. Right, and Goldar.
Just them stinking
and,
up this
just in there.
This dumpster. Finster. And Finster.
And there's a lot more people in there.
Five
just
people.
Makes it more uncomfortable.
And this thing is like, if you're looking at it, I'm doing some math, it's less than 5 feet wide.
Right.
Like, it's like a 4 foot circle, and it can't be too super deep. And... There's nothing to indicate that they were shrunk in there, except
right,
for the fact...
when she gets out, she's full size, like, her arms come out... I'm doing her stretching motion. Her arms come out, and... After 10,000 years, I'm free! Also, and then she kills the astronauts!
And she kills them.
Because she blows up the space dumpster. That's what the ring of jagged metal is.
That's what causes the earthquake.
Obviously.
well,
the earthquake's after that.
Because...
Is it?
Yes.
In airtime... The earthquake
is,
comes
but,
after. But it could be happening at the same time.
Because the earthquake is what alerted Zordon to know that Rita got loose. So the earthquake did happen after she blew it up.
It's the same time as the explosion, though. It's maybe the time delay is how long the energy has to travel before it hits the Earth.
Exactly, because it's got to go through space and the atmosphere.
Putting science in your Power Rangers.
Because I want to reboot Power Rangers as a webcomic. I always thought, and the way I was going to do it, is she gets on the moon, and it's just the moon. But she's a space witch.
Yeah.
So she uses her space witch powers to make her fortress out of the moon.
Just grow out of the moon.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't have, like some sort of fortress that she can throw on the ground, zap, and then it pops
up. I feel like in the show, the fortress is just there.
Well, that was her old fortress. I also feel like it's on the dark side of the moon.
Okay.
Which is why we didn't find it when
it
we went there.
It is so
Maybe
far.
Maybe that's why we don't talk about Apollo 18 anymore. We found Rita's space castle.
Something...
They didn't come
it
back
It comes
either.
Up later. Way later. And I don't want to say too much. But Zed at one point, when Zed comes in, and it's after that, and Rita comes back too.
Hey guys, at this point, the heat kicked on at my parents' house, so you're going to hear a low rumble for a little while. Sorry. So, man... This episode.
Where... spoilers. I don't want to ruin anything, but if you're listening, you know about all this.
And if you don't...
Get on
just
that.
Just watch ahead.
But,
Netflix has all of it.
Spend your weekend
But
on
he
Netflix.
Mentions something about something being on the dark side of the moon, which leads me to believe that they're not. But anyway, the earthquake to me is her creating her fortress... Even though on the show, it's obviously not.
So, I mean, at the same time, how is that any different than...
It would take a lot of energy.
And that's just the Earth is like, well, what is happening on the moon to me?
Making that big of a modification to the moon would probably mess with the Earth.
It would mess with the tides.
There'd be a tide. And Angel Grove is a coastal town.
Yeah.
I think. They never really go to the ocean, but Dragonzord comes out of there later.
Is that an ocean or a really big lake?
Ocean. Well, there's definitely a lake, because they go there every couple episodes.
Right.
Because it's always summertime in Angel Grove.
That's California.
What are they constructing on the edge of the ocean?
Whatever they are, it keeps getting knocked over.
They have to just keep starting from scratch.
Dragonzord doesn't care.
Future stuff. Dragonzord's very cool. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote down destroy and I don't know why.
Is that because her goal now, her coming out party, is to destroy the nearest planet?
The nearest planet, yes.
Exactly. All of Power Rangers stems off of Rita just wanting to blow up the Earth because it's there.
Yeah.
Where she happens to be.
And if, like, if they would have, like, realistically, because that asteroid's traveling so fast that if astronauts managed to land on it, within minutes they would be out of our solar system.
Right.
A meteor recently did pass between us and the moon, though, so, like...
Also, one hit Earth.
That's...
hit Earth. It blew up right...
It blew up in the atmosphere over Russia.
Ground.
But, like, there was... I think that's the meteor. Like, it... There was another one slightly bigger than that that literally passed between us and the moon. It was so close, we could have grabbed it if we had the chance.
Right.
So... Like, maybe that's realistic, that it's close enough. But, like, if you land on it, first of all, the science involved with that and the math is just astronomical. But then you're there for too long, it's gone. Now right. you're near Jupiter.
So, yeah, even if she didn't, like, kill the astronauts,
they're
she
stuck.
Came out
yeah.
and she just teleported to her fortress.
Over to the moon.
But those astronauts are rounding the sun
yeah.
and heading back toward Andromeda.
Like, well, yeah, like they've got 10,000 years before we're going to see them again. Hopefully...
There's a lot of food on
some
their
other,
shuttle.
Some other space creature finds them and is nice. Hopefully Andross' dad
right.
is out there. He's so far ahead, you don't even need to know who that
you
is.
You say
yet.
Andross, I think of Star Fox.
Same here.
Just the face just spinning
just
out the pixels.
Floating
his name
hands.
Is Andros, but I read it as Andross, and I haven't seen it so long that it's Andross in my head. He's in space. He's the Red Ranger from in space. Anyways, it's way you'll hear about that in 4 years.
if you're still listening,
if
we're still yeah.
So yeah, her goal is to destroy the Earth because it's close. Not, like, if they would have gotten there, like, 15 minutes beforehand, she'd be like, I'm going to destroy Mars! And no one would have put up an objection, because nobody's there.
Right.
And she would have just blown up Mars, and then, what, gone away? Like, or would she have been like, now the next closest planet? It'd be a whole different show. It'd be a whole different can of worms.
Just, oh, wait, now there isn't Mars in the galaxy. Everything is now messed up.
That would screw some things up.
Yeah. I mean, the...
So maybe even if she was, I'm going to destroy Mars, Zordon, in his infinite wisdom, would have been like, that's going to destroy Earth, too. We should probably stop her.
Yeah, let's... oh, God, let's deal with it.
And then her attention shifts
unless,
to where Zordon is.
Right.
Unless, of course, we're rounding the sun over here. I'm using my right hand, and then Mars on my left hand.
Very far away.
Through
right,
the sun.
Right. Well,
burn
I mean,
in
look.
The sun.
It might not mess up anything. We don't know. Mars has never been destroyed.
That's true.
That we know of.
That we know about.
Maybe this All right, is
Mars so anyway,
3.
So that leads us to the introduction of our heroes, the Power Rangers. This is probably the only hour-long episode we can handle.
It's not going to be
an
the only
hour.
One.
The only one for a while. Well, until Green with Evil. We're at 45 minutes, so, I
we
mean,
get on
cut out about 5 minutes of fluff.
We haven't really... We've
including
only talked
this,
about the opening of the episode. We gotta...
Yeah, we got more to go. I stopped writing about halfway through because I got engrossed with watching it. So the next thing is we're introduced to our heroes, the five overbearing and over-emotional teenagers.
Over-emotional humans.
Over-emotional humans. And then, yeah, oh
Alpha's
no,
the one who
not
recognizes
that.
Them.
Not teenagers. Which, why would Zordon... I mean, this is after the introduction of the Rangers. But, like, why would Zordon need teenagers? Wouldn't you want somebody a bit more emotionally put together?
You would think.
No, because since they're so emotionally scattered, they can turn their happiness into anger and then use that and just beat a bunch of putties up.
But, like, I can do that. I can beat up putties adequately.
Yeah,
they
but
don't look like they're very good fighters.
Right. In later seasons...
Putties lay down for the
yeah,
like. It's also, they're just clowns. This is it's the Gray Stooges.
A grown man would see Goldar coming at him and be like, "Oh crap! I should get out of here." Teenager would be like, "I'm invincible.
That could be
fight me."
A teenager's fight or flight is driven a lot more by the fact that they feel like they're invincible.
They don't know any better.
Yeah, we're stupid.
I guess. For me though, I'm 23 years old, going on 24. If Zordon calls me up to be a Power Ranger,
like, yeah, you're gonna jump.
I'm gonna do it.
Like, I'm doing it. I'm not even gonna walk out and try to walk back to civilization through the desert. I'm just gonna go, yeah,
right.
When do I start?
They're quickly flown, like teleport flown into the command center.
Yeah.
They have no idea how far from Angel Grove they are.
Like, I mean,
we're gonna go back.
The only way I can think is that, because they turn into these like balls with legs. It looks like the Star Trek logo. And they fly there.
It does.
And the only thing I can think is if they're conscious the whole time, they're just moving super fast. If they were like, if one of them just paid attention.
Which, now that you mention it, they have to be conscious the whole time. Because there's instances where they talk to each other.
Yeah. During that,
while they're teleporting.
And so like, they're just teleporting super fast. And they're like, oh man, where are we going? What's happening? And then they land and they go, all right, now it's that way to get back. But they were traveling so fast. They wouldn't know how far, how long it would take.
Right.
So it's the desert. None of them have any water or hats. That just exposure is a big killer, guys. Like
Zach is dressed in black.
In all blacks. And some purple.
Yeah, a little bit of purple.
And also, if your molecules are being scrambled and transported, however fast and however long.
I think the actual explanation is that they are turned into microwaves. Or microwaves deal waves. With it somehow. Microwaves.
I heard waves.
You have terrible ears. That's why. Anyway, before we go any farther than that, let's talk about...
They're brothers.
Yeah, Scoot is my little brother. I think we mentioned this. I've known him his entire life. And he's been dumb the whole time.
I'm not the smartest.
So anyway, so let's talk about the Power Rangers for a second. Who are our Rangers? I feel like I've been talking far too long. You go, Josh.
Like, what color Ranger would I be?
No, not our Rangers. Because I mean, like, who are our Power Rangers? Who are the Power Rangers that we are being introduced to in this episode?
Okay, I got you.
I'm gonna delete this because that got clunky. Because okay. I wasn't clear.
Who are the Power Rangers?
Who are the Power Rangers?
You should have just said it that way.
Well, they're ours though, because I mean, we're in this together.
You could have explained that to me after.
A little bit. Anyway. We never would have gotten it. Anyways.
Anyway, we have...
Who are the Power Rangers?
Jason Lee Scott, who's chosen to be the Red Ranger. I'm trying to do it in the order they do it in the show, and I don't think I'm gonna... Zach Taylor. Wait, I don't even think they say their last names in this episode.
I'm
a real big fan.
I don't think they ever say...
They do, not like introduction-wise, but like if there's a dance competition, they'll be like, next up is Zach Taylor.
Right. I don't think we ever hear Trini's last name.
Or Billy's.
I don't think we ever hear Billy's.
Billy's, I know we have to. It has to be in there somewhere. In a science fair episode or something.
I just remember...
He's not in a science fair. We might in season 3...
Okay, we'll do this then. When we hear their name... We'll mention it
on the
podcast for that episode.
Because it's a while before we know anybody.
There has to be a point where you hear them all. Because I remember reading their names in the book that comes with the box set.
Yeah.
And then I remember hearing them on the show after that. I knew them, so I was listening for them. But, all right, so you have Jason Lee Scott, who's your red Tyrannosaurus Ranger.
Yep.
Zach Taylor is your black Mastodon Ranger. Trini?
Kimberly.
No.
They introduce...
We're just going to go with Kimberly. Kimberly Hart is your pink pterodactyl ranger.
H-A-R-T, which is a deer.
Or a wrestler.
Fun fact. Oh, man. Is Kimberly related to Bret Hart?
Headcanon, yes. That would make her Canadian.
Has Kimberly gone through the dungeon?
You were stretched out by steel. Anyway, now we're getting way off.
Cutting that out.
Kimberly Hart, pterodactyl, pink pterodactyl ranger. Trini Kwan, yellow saber-tooth tiger ranger. And Billy Cranston is the blue triceratops ranger. Those are our five rangers.
We were introduced to them in the following ways. Zach and Jason are sparring karate style.
Okay.
Where it's very clear that Jason is... sort of teaching Zach, not in the sense that, like, here's how you do it, but, like, he's the lead. He's leading the fight. Like, right, like Zach is sparring with Jason. Jason's not sparring with Zach.
Right.
Yeah. So
Zach was privileged in the Trini opportunity.
Trini is just doing some pretty intense katas, which are just karate dances.
Poses?
Pretty she's much.
Posing, essentially?
It's
hard to describe. It's like
karate yoga. I never took karate because when I was the age where you take karate.
It's one of the biggest mistakes of my life is not taking karate.
We were too poor when I was a kid. So that's why Scoot was in karate because we had money by then. So, Scoot, what is a kata exactly?
A kata is when you string together either a set of stances or attacks in a way that looks fancy. You're not really doing it
it's
in
like
a sense.
It's like an elegant sequence of posing.
Yeah, it's not like anything practical. Like, if, like, all right, oh, I'm surrounded by a bunch of people. Gotta do kata number three.
Yeah.
Horse dance.
But I mean, at the same time, horse dance. At the same time, like, some of the moves that she was doing, if you would just were to do them faster, because she was kind of doing them slowly,
she was
like, I feel like she would just beat up like if like those are still moves, but they're just and you're doing them in a set preset way.
So. She was doing a kata, but she was also doing tai chi, which is just that doesn't sound right to me.
I don't think she was doing tai chi. There was some breathing going on, but tai chi's a lot slower.
But anyway, we need to get back onto how we were introduced to the Rangers. Right. We're spending a lot of time on Trini's posing.
Good point. But on that note, that kind of shows me it's like, oh, she's really good at what she does.
Right.
She's collected. She's, you know, like, Jason is going to fight. Zach's going to do some cool moves. Trini is your precision striker. Like, she's going to hit you where it hurts. Not like...
Right.
Like, Jason's going to karate you.
She's
going to
find your glowing red spot, yeah, but and like, she's going
to
punch it.
But, like, Trini's going to figure out, I need to hit them in the Z. Like, you know, not...
Where is their weakness and how can I exploit it?
Which comes up later.
Yeah. It's not Trini you figure
that out. I know, but, like, I'm just saying, at that moment, that's what you would think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then Kimberly, the first love of my life...
you just didn't know it until...
I knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what. I was 4 years old. I had no idea. It wasn't until much later on that I figured it out. No. Anyways, she's doing gymnastics very well.
Amy Jo Johnson is actually a very talented gymnast.
That's how she got the part. She was like auditioning for a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. and none of it was panning out. And then the casting director, her name was Katie something. For Power Rangers was like
Katie Vick.
Katie,
Okay, I'm sorry.
That was for nobody.
I don't even understand the reference.
Don't worry about it.
You're better off.
So she was, I guess, friends with her or just knew her through all the auditions she'd been through, and she was like, "You should audition for Power Rangers." And she's like, "Oh, okay. What's it about?" And so she explained it, and she's like, "Yeah, but like they're looking for people with like gymnastics training or karate or dance training," and Amy Jo Johnson's like, I never thought my gymnastics training would ever pay off in the acting world. Because the reason she like had to stop doing gymnastics competitively is because like a injury of some type. But that worked out for me. Because then I got to watch Kimberly all day, a day. So, and then Goofy Billy Cranston is... He comes in like a, what are they called?
Gi.
He's a white belt. He's got a blue bandana rope headband wrapped around his head.
And also blue wristbands.
Blue wristbands. And he's in a class that Jason is teaching.
He's also wearing a blue button-up shirt underneath. Anyone noticed that?
I didn't notice that. But it works.
Well, it was like the top three buttons. But he was wearing a nice shirt.
He was wearing a good shirt, in other words, because
he had it tucked into his pants.
Because he's learning, all right? He still had his glasses on when he was doing it. So, yeah. You know, I don't know how glasses work because I've never had them. So maybe you can keep them on during karate training.
I don't know. And better take them off before you start sparring.
And he's obviously the brainy one right away because he's got glasses. Because
he's got glasses.
Which they're not prescription glasses. They're just pieces of glass in frames that eventually started screwing with David Yost's vision. so he stopped wearing them. So he uses words like, you know, like affirmative and more phenomenal and, well, actually,
more phenomenal is coined by Kimberly.
It's Kimberly. But, like, you know, like,
but he,
all systems go. He's like, yes, he uses very technical terms.
Early on, he talks very technically, and Trini has to translate for him.
Which is my favorite, some of my favorite stuff is whenever he babbles for a minute.
And Zach's like, in English, please?
And Trini's like, oh, we have to go to this place, or we have to hit this thing. And then there's, like, a few times where where they're like, look at Trini, and she'll just, like, shrug. She's like, I don't know what that is. I'm in over my head on this one. So those are our heroes. They don't seem very overbearing or over-emotional at all. Because Billy comes in, and Zach, this is the early 90s, so, like, the black kid in the gym. he's a dancer. He's a cool guy. He's like, hey, Billy, what's going on, man? Like, they're friends already. Like, they already know each other in a friendly way. Jason is the same. Trini and Kimberly don't... Like, when they get teleported, Trini and Kimberly aren't like, okay, what's the nerd doing here? they're not like, why is the paste eater... Who is this kid? I don't even know you. Like, they're like, oh, they don't even mention him because he's just there. Like, he's supposed to be.
No, but they were watching him while he was trying.
Yeah, and then Trini was like, oh, you're getting better. Yeah, you got to keep at it.
Right.
So, like, they're obviously on good terms with the nerdiest kid I've ever met. And I haven't even met.
Well, that's because part of the reason they're chosen to be Power Rangers is because they're all good, pure people.
Good people. But... the criteria is overbearing and over-emotional humans.
Hey, over-emotion doesn't necessarily mean bad emotions.
But they were totally level-headed.
They could just be super happy.
The only time they got over-emotional was when they were transported. They were magically teleported to this space station, as far as they know.
And that didn't freak them out. What freaked them out was basically the responsibility.
Yeah.
fact that they were talking to a giant head in a tube, they were fine with that.
This robot with a UFO head.
Yeah, Billy was fascinated with Alpha, but that's because he's a nerd.
Yeah.
He just wanted to know how he worked.
Like, oh man, a fully functional automaton. Right. Like, he didn't even say robot. He said
humanoid automaton.
Humanoid automaton, which probably went right over my head when I was a kid, because I didn't know either of those words. It's just weird to me that, like, I love the joke. I understand it's in there for the joke of the anything but teenagers.
Right.
You know. But still, the criteria is overbearing, over-emotional humans, and they got the five nicest people, the most accepting. They do a bunch of community service. They, like...
Trini starts a cleanup that's later.
Later, yeah. Like, they're just, like a bunch of good people. Very diverse
the best
group of
teenagers.
People. Yeah,
they don't do anything to get into trouble.
Literally,
which I wasn't a bad kid,
but
I got in trouble.
Right? Oh yeah, like when I was that age. We'll say they're freshmen because they're supposed to be freshmen.
That's retro.
No,
canon.
They
like
juniors,
I think they start out
they
as
start
like
out
juniors,
as seniors, or
but
something.
As the season or as the series goes on, they get younger.
They don't
in canon.
They don't graduate until Zio. I think when Zio's done, they graduate. I think.
Well, four seasons, four years.
So, but like, they start out as seniors. I wrote down Dawson Casting, which is named after Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Everybody on there was 100 years old, except for Katie Holmes. and they were playing, like, you know, freshmen in high school.
Yes.
So, Amy Jo Johnson was 22. The youngest of them was actually... Austin St. John, now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm just laughing because you wrote Teddy Bear, which we'll get to.
Yeah,
that's just funny to me.
I also wrote down Bulk and Skull song, which we haven't got to yet. Bulk and Skull Club Remix, I would listen to that all day.
but that just
it's out step. There. It's
I know, I haven't Googled it yet. That's the only
there, thing. That's a big place.
Yeah, Austin St. John, I believe, is like 19.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's the youngest. I know for a fact he's the youngest one because they said it in the retrospective.
Yeah.
I just forgot it until just now.
Right.
Tui Trang is younger. I don't know if she's the youngest. David Yost was the oldest, I think, at like 24.
Right.
So, like, they're playing kids, and I buy it as them being seniors. Like, they...
seen
it. I buy it now, but a couple seasons from now.
Billy is a man. Billy is a Billy.
Well, I want to talk about that, but that's three seasons.
Three in the seasons from now. Yeah, but
so because there's a lot of things I want to touch. I might have to start writing notes down for future.
Yeah, you podcasts. Probably should. Oh yeah, but so like Billy is a man. Then like he's a guy.
Right.
Like Jason David Frank.
He is eternally young.
Remains youthful to this day.
Yeah. He's aged a bit, but that might also be his haircut now.
His haircut, and because he's just...
And his facial hair. Yeah. Like,
but, like, yeah.
Amy Jo Johnson has not aged a day.
She's a vampire who I would marry right now. This like, if she walked in and said, let's get married right now, I'd be like, oh, yep, let me grab my good shoes.
blazer. Which are your red chucks.
Which are my red chucks. or my Wonder Woman chucks.
Yet half a suit right there.
Yeah, that won't fit me, but whatever. What else?
You got a big do. It's happening right now.
It's happening right now. Anyways, see what else I wrote down. Yeah, Alpha has a teddy bear.
Which isn't even mentioned.
He only has it for that one shot.
Wait, all the command center stuff is American footage.
Yep.
So,
and okay,
they went out of their way to make sure Alpha had a teddy bear with an Alpha head.
Right, yeah.
For a shot.
That I would
he
buy
might,
that.
He might show up again later. Here's the thing about the command center footage to me is, and maybe it's just Alpha's design, because Alpha is clearly an American product because the lightning bolt.
He has the logo on his chest.
The lightning bolt is not in Z Ranger. That's only in the American Power Rangers. That is, you know, the iconic image. But Alpha, to me, seems like something from the Japanese footage. Like,
right.
Like, to me, he just seems like he's a holdover where they're like, we have to have Alpha in it because he's in the Japanese one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like when they created him, he could have just as easily been adapted. But he isn't. He's completely new.
Yeah.
But it just, they make it feel
right.
Just slightly out of place. Like, Zordon being a giant head in a jar is weird, but, like, he has this helper robot with a teddy bear who feels like he has a whole life story that is in cut Japanese footage that I don't have. It's just something that occurred to me when I started watching it again.
I just want to go on record and say that if they put out a teddy bear with an Alpha head, I would buy the crap out of that.
Yeah, I'll get one. Why not? Yeah, like, what? Yeah. I also wrote down overbearing and over, because I...
Emotional was too long to
because
write.
That's when I noticed what Kimberly was wearing.
What was she wearing this episode, Jake?
Kimberly was wearing a pink vest. I wrote down skirt, but it's not a skirt. They are shorts. They're like floral shorts.
Very short shorts.
That are that showcase her gymnast legs.
To a
also her in a headband. Something that's very important to me. everything about every episode of Power Rangers boils down to how attractive Amy Jo Johnson is in that outfit, in whatever outfit she's wearing. She's just like, even in the episode, like way in the future, I think it's like the third season premiere, when she's sick and she's in like a bathrobe and she's all sniffly, I'm like, yeah, let me just snuggle you and get you some soup. Like, like, there's nothing you can do to be unattractive. All
right, we gotta get back on track here. We've depleted your notes.
Yeah,
and we're only about halfway through the episode.
This is because this is when the episode picked up. I wrote Walking to Civilization.
So what I wanted to, they leave the command center to walk back to Angel
Grove.
Back
to Angel Grove, could be millions of miles away,
and
who knows.
And they're attacked by putties immediately. Which makes the journey null and void anyway.
Yeah.
And they fight the putties and get overpowered because they're just... They're teenagers. They're not used to fighting putties.
Like
yet.
even Jason gets. I mean, he's got like 4-on-1.
Yeah, and does a sweet enziguri.
He does a nice enziguri.
And then the other two that are holding him just throw him into the
ranger pile.
I also want to point out that Billy, before he got into a fight, took his glasses off, put it in the front pocket of his overalls,
and then chest bumped
and then
a putty.
Chest bumped a putty.
That's fine. It's a TV show.
He would have been safer with them
in the heat of battle. You don't know. Okay, let's look at it from these kids' perspective. They're obviously have, like you pointed out while we were watching it, Ninja Turtle syndrome, where they're just wholly unimpressed by Zordon or Alpha.
Right, they don't.
Or the command center, or teleportation.
Right.
All that's whatever.
They're okay with everything that's going on.
Except for the responsibility.
Except for the responsibility.
Which I never put together until now, and that's going to be a major theme if I reboot it. They're like, we're done, we're leaving. They're They're leaving, and
they,
Jason...
They know what the putties are when they get attacked, because Zordon showed them on the viewing
globe. Right, yeah. So, Jason is the only one who's like, come on, guys, like, he's... We have to save the world, like, we were chosen for this. And the rest of them are like, no, not gonna happen.
I can't even remember some of the, like, the reasons.
I don't think there were many, because yeah. they were attacked by putties. So, I think the reason they get beat up by putties in this episode, and only in this episode, really... Because it's a pretty fair fight from then on.
Yeah. I mean, they... Later on, they don't even have to morph to take the putties out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they didn't even really have to this time.
They were caught way off guard.
Yeah, that's what it is. They were surprised by putties.
They just talked to a floating head in a jar and a automaton. A humanoid automaton.
After teleporting, which they could probably be dehydrated. We don't know.
So they get overpowered by the putties and thrown into a pile. Where Jason... it's a good time to feel himself and remembers he has a morpher on his belt.
Because Zordon magically...
Zordon made them Power Rangers before they left. So then Jason's like, oh, Zordon said these would give us power, let's do it.
All right, yeah, sure.
Automatically, Zordon never explained to them how to morph. But they automatically know...
It's genetic memory.
They automatically just know we just have to hold these out with our left hand on the top, gripped by the right...
Yeah.
And shout.
Hit the button on the side and shout whichever dinosaur Zordon told you you were.
Right. So then they morph. They just wreck the putties.
They morph. I don't even know if they fight the putties long. They because get, Goldar's attacking Angel Grove.
Right. So they get teleported right away to go fight Goldar.
Without the classic Goldar voice, the guy who does Goldar's voice. Yes. I don't think it's the same guy for that first time. And
if it's the same guy, it's a different voice.
Yeah, he hadn't figured it out yet, because I really like Goldar's voice later on in the rest of the series.
Zordon sounded British to me.
Zordon's voice
changes a lot, I realize now.
They changed the actors for Zordon after the first season, maybe.
Hmm. But Well, that's season 3, which I just watched, so I don't want to talk about too much. But there's even some points in season 3
where he changes. The same guy. He just changes for whatever reason.
It's a higher octave, in one episode than it is in another.
Yeah. So they fight Goldar and some putties for a hot minute, and then
Rita gets tired.
Then Rita's like, "I'm not dealing with this. I'm just gonna make him Godzilla."
Yes.
And then
she says, "Magic wand." Make my Goldar grow.
Right, which is like the only instance of that, of make my Goldar grow. And
I feel like she says it later, like when Goldar and Scorpina are attacking.
Maybe. But the point is, in the intro, she does it every single time.
Right.
Magic wand, make my monster grow. Magic wand, make my
monster grow. Make my monster grow is a catchphrase for the series.
That she doesn't use in the
series. Which she doesn't use in the episode, only in the opening.
Same thing as Five Teenagers with Attitude.
Which is only in the opening.
14 years with Attitude and their friend Billy.
All right, we're running super long. We gotta start wrapping up here. Anyway, they're fighting Goldar. Same thing with the Zords as with morphing. They just know. Billy just even says that. Oh, it's like second nature to me.
Yeah, while they're folding into Megazord,
I'm gonna mention the Megazord sequence, because this is the best Megazord sequence.
The rest of them are...
Of these three seasons.
Pretty bland.
Because, I mean, all of the dinosaurs, they're all running together. They start transforming mid-run.
The Billy's guy. Triceratops. he just starts lifting up.
Yeah.
Like, as he's going.
So they turn into a giant tank, which is still moving. So there's this giant Zord runway somewhere in Angel Grove.
Right. There's a huge landing strip that's fallen on hard times.
So they're in tank mode, and now all the individual cockpits are one, and then they initiate the Megazord sequence. And so now you have the robot voice that says, "Megazord sequence has been initiated."
Or as I thought for the past 20 years, Megazord sequence activate initiated.
That doesn't even make sense.
That's why I was so confused by it. It
has been initiated.
And we pointed it out and blew JJ's mind.
Shattered the glass.
So the tank turns into Megazord. Lightning strikes him because he's the MFing Megazord.
Right, yeah. He is the baddest dude in Revere.
And then you get Megazord sequence.
Complete.
Complete? No.
Activate initiated.
No, how do they say it? Megazord activated. That's what it is.
Yes.
That's where activated is.
Maybe that's where.
But even in season two, you lose the touch of the voice and the lightning. Like he's just Megazord now.
They just melt into the Thunderzords, and then
even before the Thunderzords.
Yeah, they just like
Yeah, so the Megazord sequence loses a lot of its character as time goes on, which I don't like. But I guess playing the same sequence over and over again would be good for filling time, but not really necessary.
When they introduced Titanus later on, I tweeted, I was like, oh man, our episode's running kind of short, what should we do? Oh, just play the whole Titanus sequence.
Right.
That's 2 minutes right there. Because it's the same thing. They get in, it's all the morphing sequence.
Right.
Then Dragonzord comes out, and it's the whole Dragonzord morphing sequence, and then Titanus comes out, and they get Titanus, and they do one shot with Titanus' mega cannons, and it kills whatever that is.
Yeah.
Whatever they need to kill. And it's like it's seriously a minute long. It's just it's like such a filler.
So then they're in Megazord now. There's five of them in the cockpit. Jake brought this up, and I want to bring it up now while we're recording. Are all five of them controlling different parts of the Megazord, or are they just there for moral support? Like, is the Megazord controlling itself?
No.
Which obviously it's not in Power Rangers.
Yes, because
In Z Ranger, it's sentient.
Yeah, it's like a thing. It's like a guy. Like, it's the protector of whatever.
Right.
You know.
It's like a vessel for the gods or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of colossus. I don't
because,
know.
Because we don't have that because Americans are a bunch of godless heathens. We don't have any ancestors whose spirits are hanging around. Like, we don't have... We're a very young country. We don't got that kind of history. So we're going to fight with robot dinosaurs that I control.
From space that are still in Earth.
That aren't rusty at all, despite living in a volcano.
Or
a crack in the Earth.
They're made of some kind of space alloy.
That's probably true. Anyway, so... they're all...
gone. Because of the...
Just in the desert.
In the desert. The
whole time,
yeah. Sand would be just whipping at it.
The Mastodon has been frozen for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
He'd go to move.
The other two... The Triceratops... Not Triceratops. Tyrannosaurus and the Pterodactyl are just melted. Because one's in a volcano, one's in a lava pool. And then the Sabertooth Tiger is just in the jungle somewhere. Which is very humid, lots of water, getting in all sorts of places.
Also, all overgrown.
Yeah, they all should have, and they've been there for at least 10,000 years, so they would have just melted and died.
Space metal, JJ.
Space metal, not going to worry about it. Anyway, so yeah, so there's five of them in the cockpit. Jason steers.
Right.
I feel like.
When they're in tank mode. They're in Megazord mode.
I feel like Zach controls the legs. For whatever reason.
Do they each control the part that their Zord is?
Because Kimberly gets a shaft.
I said that. Kimberly controls the chest piece.
She's Zach, communications.
Zach could be...
Maybe she's monitoring the shield.
She's in charge of music.
Megazord takes a lot of blows.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of shielding mechanic. Yeah.
I feel like that would be Trini, though.
No, because Trini is a leg. I feel like Billy is like the data.
Yeah, he's like, crunching numbers the whole
time. He's making sure energy and hydraulics go to where they need to go. Zach might be on legs.
See, that's what I feel like, though. Arms.
Jason might just be calling shots. So he's a captain.
I don't know. If
they never explain this.
If we're going by who controls the parts, Jason
is
would be headbutting.
He's controlling the Megazord.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Because he's got... his hand on the joystick the whole time.
I feel like
everyone else does, though.
He needs the other guy to, like, I don't know, if we're going to punch Trini, what am I trying to say?
Move
process
your joystick
the power
to the
into our right fist.
Right.
And I'm going to make it punch. I don't know. It's
we'll have to ask Tony Oliver. Not Chaim Saban, because he probably doesn't care.
Every time I see that in the credits...
You think it's Tommy Oliver?
I think it's Tommy Oliver.
Tommy Oliver's named after Tony Oliver.
Yeah.
I get it. Anyway, so they don't beat Goldar. Their first major battle, they don't win.
They sort of outfight him.
They scare Goldar into leaving, which is a victory, but it's not necessarily a win.
But do they scare him, or does he just not want to deal with it?
They bring out that giant sword, and he's like, out.
He's already got his sword, though.
Yeah.
Well, that does get rid of his advantage, then.
They all do their little call pose in the cockpit and call down the power sword, which they automatically just know the name of.
Yeah.
That's you know, second
nature. Power didn't, sword. And Jason was like, power sword.
Right, so yeah, Megazord grabs the power sword, and he was like, I'm just gonna go then. Because like, I feel like Rita sent Goldar, just be like, let's see what they got.
Well, I think, see, my theory on that is she sent Goldar down because she's like, the putties are gonna handle these kids.
Right.
They're gonna just beat them up, maybe kill them, who knows, and then Goldar can just wreck whatever he wants to. And then when they showed up, she was like, oh crap, grow. And then they beat him, so he's just like, I'm leaving, because now I have intel on you or something.
I don't want to die. Yeah.
So, anyway, so they don't win, but they don't lose. Goldar leaves.
They defend Earth.
The Earth is saved.
They succeed thanks to the Powerpuff Girls. As a Power Ranger. Hey.
Fuck yeah. So then they go back to... Oh, man.
No.
So then they go back to the command center, where having been the Power Rangers, they're not going to give that up. Everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. And then Kimberly is my favorite thing, where she's like, I don't know, guys. The outfits are cool.
My hair gets all tangled in the helmet,
my hair
though.
Gets all tangled in that helmet, so I don't think I can do it. And they're all like, oh, come on. And she's like, not!
Because it's the early 90s! Because it's
1993, when that was the coolest thing in the world. And then Alpha, his circuits start frying.
Because he's never
heard Because he hates teenagers. And he doesn't understand their sarcasm and whatever. And then it ends on a sports...
I don't even know. It's not a huddle. They all put their arms in
as throw a team. Them up and jump, and then we freeze.
Power Rangers!
And that's how the first episode of Power Rangers ended. And that's how a lot of episodes of Power Rangers end, with freeze frame jumps. Which is
cool.
Which is awesome to me. Because I'm always excited, because I want to jump with them, but I have a small roof, so...
We could
hop a little bit and keep our elbows bent.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, smacking my hand on the ceiling.
Because that thing hurts.
Yeah. So that's the first episode of Power Rangers.
Style ceiling, for those who can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got all the...
I grew up with one of those, too, so I know your pain.
Yeah.
It's like, you're gonna jump, and you're super happy, or something, like, yuck! Ouch!
And you come back with bloody knuckles, and you go cry. Anyways, that's Power Rangers.
And a bunch of other crap we talked about.
This episode ran super long. We'll have to tone back the tangents.
Yeah, I might do some creative editing. So if this is in there, then I didn't get rid of as much as I thought I would.
Then you probably didn't edit at all. Maybe you cut out some silence.
a lot of ums, a lot of silence goes.
I caught myself doing some but-ums.
But-um.
But-um.
But-um, 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 but-um.
I do a lot of ums when I'm trying to think of how I want to say something.
Right.
I'll be like,
I didn't talk very much.
That's all right.
You'll get used to it. It's your first rodeo. So yeah.
Just get my feet wet.
So that's episode one, Day of the Dumpster.
Episode 1.
That's backstory.
Backstory, filming notes. The rest of these will be more focused on the episode.
We hope.
And, like, what they do in the episode and how that relates to our lives.
This was just an introductory episode.
Yeah, we're still feeling it out. I think it went pretty well.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
I would maybe listen to this one. I don't listen to our other one.
No, you don't.
I might listen to this
Nobody
one.
Nobody does but me, and that's only because I have to edit it. And Scoot does. He's not on it, though.
Sometimes.
Our other one is The Botched Spot, Cheap Plug.
Cheap Plug. Check out The Botched Spot.
We'll link to it. Oh, yeah. It's a wrestling podcast.
If you like wrestling,
If you understood my Katie Vick reference, check us out.
Oh, yeah. Then that's for you. okay, so that's been the Morphin Grid.
Until next time, guys, may the power protect you.
And that's it. That's the unaired pilot of the Morphin Grid. I'm sorry to Scoot that we talked over him every single time he opened his mouth. I'm sorry to you, the listener, that there was just a lot of silence. I cut... That still happens sometimes. Not to that degree. Still happens sometimes. I cut that out. I cut out anything over, like, a half a second of silence. Gone. All that stuff. I didn't want to do that. I wanted you to get the raw experience of this kind of garbage fire. Also, fun thing that happened to me is I was editing it, and all of a sudden I heard my dog Rango snoring. Rango passed away about a year and change ago, and I started crying because I never thought I would hear him again. So that was both very nice and very sad. I guess the word for that is bittersweet. A little sweeter than not, though. So that was very unexpected. A couple other notes. The botched spot does not exist, and I never really made it to the internet. I was putting it up on, like some file sharing service and then posting that link to Tumblr, and, like, that was it, and that's, like, how we did it. yeah, it was... oh boy. Also, Josh was the age then that I am now. Scoot, again, was a baby. He was like 16. I was 23. I don't even remember how, like, what 23 is like. Yeah, so that's that. There's one more. I think there's a second episode that I have on my computer still. And play your cards right. Maybe that'll show up at some point in the future. Because this is kind of weird. this weird stumble down memory lane. Anyway, thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you guys for hanging with us for these years. Thank you to all of our patrons. We have a lot of patrons who give us money to talk about Power Rangers because, like, you believe in what we do. And some of you are also there for the Pokemon podcast. Maybe some of you are there for GasCast, which is coming back soon. We had to put it on hiatus because the holidays and retail is, like, the worst thing ever. But that's coming back soon, hopefully this month, if not, definitely next month. I just wanted to thank you guys. I don't know what else to say. I don't know. It's, you guys get it. It's been 3 years since we started this podcast, and I don't know what I would be doing without it. I don't know where I would be or what my days would be spent doing. I would probably play a lot more video games and read more comic books, and I would be caught up on television. Because I don't really do any of those things anymore. I'm reading some comic books today. I did read some today. So, that, yeah, there's that. That's it. I'm going to let you go. You guys know where to find us. It's in the description. You can sort it out yourselves if you want to talk to us. But that said, until next time, may the power protect you.
Tyrannosaurus!
Go, go, Power Rangers! Back from watching the episode!